who believe in reproductive freedom will stop Donald Trump's extreme abortion bans because we trust women to make decisions about their own body and not have their government tell them what to do.
Well, Kamala Harris has a lot of names. Borders are other things, but she is the abortion queen. And I'm going to make that clear today as we talk. But there are other things. Kamala Harris is from a communist background. She's like a red diaper baby. We'll make that clear, too. And I'm going to give you the positions that she holds on several other issues. This is a frightening time. She is the Democratic candidate for president. Now, I had said in the past that I didn't think there was any way she would be the candidate. But you can see what they're doing. They're propping her up. They're recreating her, which with the help of media and social media and press, you can actually do that. You can recreate someone or you can destroy them. You have that at your fingertips. It's hard for truth to get through. So we're going to make sure while there is some truth left to be seen about this, that we bring it to you. So I hope you'll stay tuned today because we have so much to tell you about Kamala Harris, the heir apparent who'll be running against President Donald Trump. And so I want you to know who she is. Well, this is Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios 24/7, and you know you can call us at 662-821-2040. We really enjoyed doing the email and phone call show just last week, and I hope you enjoyed it. So if you did, to join in the fun, just call and leave us a message or a challenge, whichever, 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on social media, whatever your favorite platform is. We are generally, I think, in most of them. You can find the show at any podcast platform. AFR.net, AmericanFamilyRadio.net, is a really good way to go because that's our home base, American Family Radio. Or you can go to Sandy Rios 24/7, or you can go to SandyRios.com and find the podcast really easily, or any other podcast platform, whatever is your habit. We're going to talk about Kamala's stand on abortion. That's what I'm going to get to first. It's really pretty shocking, and I'd actually forgotten some of the things I've known for a long time about her, so we're going to talk about that. And if, of course, she's elected, it is a great threat to those of us who believe life is sacred. It is a battle between good and evil, and there is no middle ground, really. There is no middle ground. And I'm going to give you her past so that you can find out what we are up against here if she becomes the nominee. We're trying to stop abortion in any way we can because we believe life is sacred. Kamala doesn't. That's what we'll talk about. But one way we can get around that is to go around the political powers that be, the Kamala Harrises of this world, who love every abortion they've ever seen. Hillary Clinton was like that too. And go right to the moms and make the case. Let moms who have found themselves pregnant, inconveniently, unwanted, upsetting, whatever, fill in the blank, or maybe inconvenient, which is what many of them, I think, are feeling now. And to go to them directly, let them see the baby in their womb through high-definition ultrasound photos. And most of the time, they choose to keep the baby. That's what Preborn is all about, and that's why we are so proud to have them as a sponsor. If you would like to, you know, put your money on something like that, which I think is, they have had tremendous success. I'm proud that they sponsor this show. Go to preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation to Preborn. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, all right, sit back and maybe there won't be much relaxation. You might want a pencil and paper because these are important things and they will affect our lives on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
And so, just for example, and could speak to this, but I've listened to him talk about it enough. I'm starting to get a science nerd, I think. Just that livers are, I mean, we could pay you $1,000 up to $1,500 for a liver.
Yeah.
Because that's in such high demand from our...
How interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Just great. And I think the fact that there's like a... for me, it's just like somebody to take it would be great. But I think financial incentive from you guys is going to be like to the people we have to get this approved will be very happy about it.
So. Right. The financial incentive would make people happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right, that's just a portion of one of the videos that David Dowlighten broke in 2015. Many of you listened to my morning show when that happened. David went undercover at Planned Parenthood, a lot of Planned Parenthoods, and got these videos, hours of them really, with Planned Parenthood operatives making deals on selling the parts of babies that were aborted. Sometimes a fully intact baby. They're discussing that, what they can get for that, for eyes, for livers. You heard that discussion. And so this particular video, the portion that we just played for you, was confiscated by who? Attorney General Kamala Harris, who was the Attorney General in California at the time that this happened. David is from California. This happened in California. She ordered all of the original videos seized. She ordered them confiscated. They were never able to release this particular video that I played just a tiny bit of for you. We have one other portion of it that I want you to hear. Kamala Harris charged David Dowlighten with all kinds of felonies. He's been in court for years. And Planned Parenthood got off scot-free. In fact, maybe that's what caused them to... They released an ad campaign in 2020 calling Kamala Harris our reproductive health champion. And that year, Planned Parenthood Votes published an article entitled 9 Reasons to Love Kamala Harris. So you get the picture. And before we leave this topic, because I want you to understand what a role she played in this and what it was really all about, this is a description with Dr. Lee, the head of Planned Parenthood in New York City, and the undercover person working with Dave, representing the Center for Medical Progress. Let's listen to this interaction.
Can I ask you just a few questions about volume, gestational age, do you ditch, blah, 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 all that?
24 weeks.
24.
Incredibly high volume.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, we do on weekdays, so Tuesday through, this is at our Manhattan site, Tuesday through Friday, mm-hmm. we do probably a minimum of 50 cases, and then on Saturdays, usually closer to anywhere between 75 and 100.
Okay.
So we're very high volume. And of those second, you guys are only looking for second tries?
No, we have a wide range. Just depends on what the other side, the researchers want, and that can vary.
Yeah. Over 13 weeks, it's probably maybe 10%, 10 to 20%.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
So the bulk is first try. And then we have 2 other sites which are first try. Those sites do about 25 per day.
Okay. So, are you open to, this is the main thing, some people are not yet, I just kind of sense a little fear in some people, they don't understand that the layers are there. A provider maybe being a little creative in their, making sure that there's intact specimen, because that's what really... the high dollar amount. We can pay incredible amounts for intact specimen.
Yeah. So, like, you mean completely intact DNA?
Not all.
Yeah.
But, yes, but some.
Yeah. I mean, that's just like a case-by-case basis.
Exactly.
We just do whatever's safest and best.
Right, right, yeah, so, of course.
Yeah, so if we can do an intact DNA, it's usually less dramatic for the patient, but...
Right,
yeah,
I don't know if
I think... amongst our providers to like encourage more intacts for this purpose, I think would be challenging. But we certainly do intact DNAs. So.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what is an intact DNA? It's basically the same thing as a partial birth abortion. You may recall that that's against the law. They were pulling babies out of the womb, doing these partial birth abortions, and then that taking their body parts, sometimes taking, you know, removing the head. It is so despicable. It's so despicable. And then removing body parts and selling them, that's illegal. And back in 2016, a federal judge blocked the Center for Medical Progress. That was David Dowlighten's organization, shell organization, really, that he set up to go inside these clinics and do business to expose Planned Parenthood for what they were doing. This judge blocked Center for Medical Progress from sharing this fully confiscated video for 8 years. So that's why we're just hearing it. It's probably the most incriminating video we've had yet about what Planned Parenthood was doing. And Kamala Harris was at the center of it all. Well, I could end our discussion right now, don't you think? Just knowing that. I want to add, though, on the issue of abortion, in the part of the ad that they played that was running for Kamala, the MSNBC clip where I started the show with, the girl states that, Kamala states that President Trump has radical abortion positions and she's going to stop him. You know, I want you to understand that that whole thing is absolutely not true. I wish it were true, actually. But Roe versus Wade sent the issue back to the states. That's it. That's it. The states are each deciding for themselves what restrictions they want on abortion. That has nothing to do with President Trump or J.D. Vance. If it had to do with J.D. Vance, J.D. Vance is really strong on abortion, stronger than President Trump, I think. But that's an absolutely false. They're scaring women with this. And so you're going to hear more of this, and you just need to be prepared to refute that. But, all right, so there are a lot of other things about Kamala Harris that are very concerning. And I'm going to bring Bruce in to talk with me just a little bit here. Good morning, sweetheart.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, one thing I need to clarify. I'd been saying for several weeks that I thought that there would be, because of this missive that went out from the Obama camp to Democratic leadership, that they wanted to do this jungle primary if Joe Biden stepped aside. They had planned for him to step aside. They had a whole program set out. I don't want to go into all of it because I have repeated it a few times already on this show. It didn't work out that way for them, and they've placed Kamala Harris there, which I thought was a disaster. I never thought this would actually work because she's such a horrible, weak candidate, and we're going to illustrate that, just the things that everybody knows about. Well, I'll just give people an idea. This is the kind of thing that people talk about with Kamala, and it's funny, and she was the butt of jokes. And I'll give you an idea of that before we get into this next part.
Today is today. And yesterday was today yesterday. Tomorrow will be today tomorrow. So live today. So the future today will be as the past today. As it is tomorrow.
All right, so there are really millions. It's an overstatement. There are dozens of these ridiculous statements that everyone's laughed at through the years as she's been vice president. But there are some very serious concerns about Kamala Harris besides her very weird way of saying things. As an attorney, it's just amazing. I actually think that's part of her drug usage. That's my speculation, but she's gone on record as, you know, she's a fan of marijuana. So I just think that might explain some of that, but that's concerning enough as it is. But the second thing is that I made this statement a few days ago about Kamala Harris being a communist. Now, for years, conservatives have used that loosely. It's been a pejorative that some conservatives have slung against people, and probably a lot of it was true. But when I say that Kamala Harris is a communist, I mean that in a literal sense, and we're going to lay it out for you a little bit. That's why I've asked Bruce to join me, at least for this part. Sweetheart, again, good morning.
Good morning again.
All right, so can you make the case why that's true?
Well, you know, I think it's important to start with what is communism? Because we hear that term thrown around pretty loosely by a lot of people when really it's serious as can be. And a lot of people have lost the true meaning of what communism means. You know, communism the theory of it was promulgated by Karl Marx back in the 1800s, and basically it refers to a class war. In other words, people turning against each other. And the idea of communism is to have a society in which all property is publicly owned, and each person is paid according to their needs. So it stresses people that are oppressed versus people that are oppressing these people. And it does away with individual freedoms. It does away with individual choices. The government basically becomes the substitute for your family, for your religion, for your God, for your church. You as a person just becomes a member of a group. You're not an individual anymore. You know, in the United States, we always talk about individual liberties and the freedom to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is the exact opposite. This is stopping those kind of choices, and everything is decided by the government.
Well, and also, they don't believe in God. Communism doesn't believe in God. Now, there may be some exceptions, but not really, because the state is God. The state controls everything, and everything is for the good of everyone. It's there's no individualism. It's all a group thing.
And, you know, in every country that has tried communism, it has failed. And what you will see is the people that promulgate the idea of communism love to talk about how fair and equitable it is. However, every time it's tried in a country, what you'll see is the common people basically end up with very little, and there's an elite group of people that end up with a tremendous amount of economic power. So even if the idea might have some merit to it, it's an unworkable idea.
Let me just chime in with a few practical examples, Bruce, because you know, my listeners know that I've been to many communist countries. I've not been to Cuba, but I've been to Soviet Russia before the Soviet Union broke up, which was probably the best example of successful, if you want to call it successful. They destroyed their country, and they killed in the process millions of their own people. But I saw it firsthand. The Communist Party people lived beautifully. And I was in the home. Everybody else was equal. Musicians and professors at universities and doctors all lived in the same squalid, urine-stinking apartment buildings because I visited them to interview them. They were all the same. No chance to get ahead, no incentive. That's communism, at least that's communism in part. Same thing in North Korea, where people are so oppressed and shut down while, you know, the emperor, the head of China, Kim Il-sung, the big leader, had this beautiful gambling casino. I was actually in that gambling casino, lived like a king, had food flown in while the people were starving. And actually, there was reports of cannibalism. That's communism, ladies and gentlemen. And so back to Kamala Harris. Is she really a communist, Bruce? Can you kind of give us an idea of what her ties to that is?
Well, you know, Kamala Harris has been raised actually from birth by people who were communists. Her father was a professor at Stanford University in the economics department. And think of that, economics department. That's what communism is an economic theory for the most part. And he was an avowed Marxist. He advocated for communism. Her mother also was a communist. They were active in the Berkeley-based, what was called the Afro-American Association. And who were the heroes of that association? Fidel Castro and Che Guevara.
You know what? Could I just interject? You know, Venezuela has just is going through so much trouble, and I hope to do a whole show on that. But as the revolt was coming up against Maduro, whose statues were the people, there were thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people in the street. And guess what statues they were pulling down, Bruce? It was Che Guevara. He was the communist champion in Venezuela and other South American countries. And that's what the group that her mother is affiliated with, that's one of their heroes.
Now, that group, the Afro-American Association, was led by a man named Donald Warden, but he also went by the name of Khalid al-Mansour. And he mentored two people by the name of Huey Newton and Bobby Seale. Now, Bobby Seale, I remember very well from being in Chicago. And they created the Maoist-inspired Black Panther Party. And the Black Panther Party was supported by Chinese communists. And
just like the Black Lives Matter, which came out of the Black Panthers.
Yes. Black Lives Matter sprung out. It was a progeny of the Black Panther Party.
And we have it on tape. The two founders of the of Black Lives Matter are Marxists. These two, Patrice Cullins, I think, is one of them. I don't remember the second girl's name. But they admit on tape they are communists.
And now let's watch this connection. Donald Warden, a.k.a. Khalid al-Mansur, later arranged financing for Barack Obama to attend Harvard Law School.
Bruce, I remember that. I remember when I was doing so much background on Barack Obama when I was working. He was running for Senate in Illinois, and I had left CWA, and I was working on behalf of Alan Keyes, who was challenging Barack Obama in Illinois for the Senate. And that when I did the background, that's when I first heard about this guy, funding. And people, you know, that's kind of gone quiet. But who is he? Well, he is who we just talked about, affiliated with communism.
Yes, and then, you know, you go further in life of the life of Kamala Harris, and now her connections to Willie Brown come out. Kamala went to Howard University in Washington, D.C., and when she graduated from there as an undergrad, she went to Hastings Law School, which is in Berkeley, in California. So she gets out of there and becomes an assistant district attorney in San Francisco. And who is her boyfriend? Willie Brown. Willie Brown, who was the mayor of San Francisco at one point, who was the speaker of the California Assembly when they were together. He's married. He's 60 years old. She's probably late
20s. 29, yeah. I think.
Yeah. And so...
But Willie Brown himself had communist ties. In fact, I believe he was supported by the Communist Party USA.
He was. When he ran for office, he was supported by Communist Party USA. In addition, Kamala's sister, Maya Harris, also was a Marxist when she was at Stanford University. And when Maya was at Stanford, she met a gentleman by the name of Steve Phillips, and he was one of the leading Marxist Leninists on the campus at that time. And Phillips married into a family that was incredibly wealthy. And when Kamala started her political career, Phillips' family and company sent major support financially to Kamala so she could run for office. Now, another thing that's interesting is Kamala Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff. He's a lawyer. He works for a law firm called DLA Piper. Now, here comes the China connection, Chinese communists. His law firm touts that they have nearly 30 years of experience in communist China with over 140 lawyers dedicated to its Communist China Investment Services branch.
Wow. I can't even imagine putting that in your title.
Yeah.
That's pretty bold.
Yeah.
What, you just say China. Why would you, you know, emphasize communist? But anyway, so that's her. That's the second lady or whatever he's called.
Yeah, whatever
second
he's
husband.
Called.
Yeah. He'll be the first husband, I guess. Oh, wow, is that weird. Okay, anything else, honey, on the communist ties?
Well, if we look down the road, here's the problem that could happen if Kamala Harris is elected. We've already seen our government. You know, we talk about the deep state. Well, the deep state is also another word often associated with communist ties. And if she becomes president, she can appoint people to various bureaucracies, in the intelligence agencies, the head of the CIA, the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Defense, the Justice Department, the Department of State, the FBI, the CIA, her cabinet positions.
Wow.
Think of that. And based upon her past history, we have no reason to doubt that she would do that. You know who her chief of staff was? Karine Jean-Pierre at one time.
Who was also a communist.
Who was a communist. And if you've ever watched her press conferences, she's a silly woman. She is an idiot. She is idiotic. And those are the kind of people that Kamala Harris wants to be around her.
You know, the other thing that proves what we're saying, a couple of things. Venezuela, as I just mentioned, and there's so many parallels between what's happening in Venezuela and what they're trying to pull off here in this country. And we'll get into that comparison later. But just a few days ago, Maduro, who we believe lost the election because there was this popular uprising against him. There's more context needed for that. But like I said, thousands and thousands and thousands. You should see the aerial view of people protesting Maduro because of the oppression, the lack of food, the starvation, the crime in the streets, the lack of medicine. I could go on and on. And so they did. They rose up. They had a candidate. And then it looked as though he won. And then Maduro steps in and suddenly declares he won. So it's huge. It's a huge story that, again, I said we'll get into that later. But guess how Vice President Kamala Harris responded to that? Well, she posted this on her Twitter feed. The United States stands with the people of Venezuela who expressed their voice in today's historic presidential election. The will of the Venezuelan people must be respected. Despite the many challenges, we will continue to work toward a more democratic, prosperous, and secure future for the people of Venezuela. All right. So the way that was taken by most people is this veiled approval of what happened with Maduro. Now, you can take it either way, but I'll tell you, the people of Venezuela, they heard exactly what she was talking about.
And you know, Sandy, one of the reasons why Kamala Harris may be so willing to embrace this alleged election of Maduro is, guess what kind of system is used in Venezuela to vote?
Ah, gee, let me think. Does it start with a D?
It
and
does.
Is it suing everybody on the earth that criticizes and challenges its results? Dominion?
It's Dominion voting machines. Now, think about that. If we start as Americans, as the American government, if we start to question how the election was conducted down there in Venezuela, and the investigation would lead to there was manipulation done through the use of these Dominion voting machines, think of the ramifications that would have here in the United States. And I strongly feel that the Democrats totally intend to try to steal this 2024 election the way I believe they stole the 2020 election, by much of it being by the use of these Dominion voting machines.
It's not just Dominion, there are others too, but Dominion is the big dog. I want one more thing, to prove our point. Now, in communism, and Bruce is kind of laying it out, at least in general, for all of us, what communism really means. One of the famous quotes from Karl Marx is this: from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs. Now, what that meant, that was like code for, we're going to take everything people have. They've done this historically in China. They took businesses over. They did that in Venezuela and redistribute it to the people. That's the theory. Of course, ironically, they end up distributing it to the people that are in leadership, but not so much to the people. The people are starving and suffering in every single case of these communist countries. But I want to show you in her own way how Kamala is teaching all of us about this whole concept. And this is clip. She's using the words that we're using now: equity and equality. Equity and equality. I'll let her explain it to you. This is clip two.
It has to be about a goal of saying everybody should end up in the same place. And since we didn't start in the same place, some folks might need more. Equitable distribution.
Giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place.
So there's a big difference between equality and equity. Equality suggests often everybody should get the same thing. Well, that often assumes everybody started out in the same place, as opposed to equity, which is everyone should end up in the same place. And if you then understand not everybody started out in the same place, you understand some people need more. So we all end up in the same place, right?
We are proud of the fact that equity is one of our guiding principles. Proud of the fact that we understand equality is important, but not everybody starts out on the same base.
We see that people in our country are having an experience that is not equal. So when we talk about the work we are doing here together, it is recognizing that and being guided by this principle of what we must do in the spirit and in the interest of equity.
To put equity firmly at the center of our economic policy.
But no, if you look at the reality of who will benefit from certain policies, when you take into account that they're not starting at the same place and they're not starting on equal footing, it will directly benefit Black children, Black families, Black homeowners.
She loves to make it a race issue, but here's the thing. This is the opposite of American values. Our Constitution say all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and all of them equally, right, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Here's where the breakdown is. We are not all equal in terms of our ambition, in terms of our abilities, in terms of some of the natural gifts that God gives us. We don't all have the same outcome. Equal in God's sight, but not the same. We are not the same, and it's not meant that we should be the same. And communism takes away individuality. That's why they have people dress in these horrible, drab, same kinds of uniforms. They did in Russia. They did in North Korea. They did in China. They don't so much now in China. They've had Western influence, but they'd strip away all the individuality. And it's the opposite of working hard and getting ahead by your own, the sweat of your own brow.
Yes, and honey, how do you even describe what is equitable? What does that mean? Does that mean everyone has the same house? Does that mean everyone drives the same car?
Well, to her, yes.
Yeah. Now, think about that. Now, how do you accomplish that? Okay, we've got 330 million people in this country, and we're all going to be the same. Now, how do you go about making a person who has a $1 million home, is driving three cars, and has a job that pays them very well, how do you now equate that person to a person who's on unemployment, has never worked a day in their life, doesn't want to work a day in their life, and just wants to sit back and collect a government check?
They have no regard to those kind of values. And what they do, Bruce, what really ends up happening, and we can prove this, the stories of the Chinese Revolution with Mao Zedong in 1917, the Russian Revolution in around the same time, 1917. Because what happens is they have these grand and lofty themes that sound, yeah, fairness. Everyone gets the same. Everyone has the same. But every single time they do this, they end up bankrupting the country. Famine ensues, not enough food. People are miserable. They don't have medicine. They don't have a health care that's decent. They're all the same. They're all poor and suffering, except for those that run, are in charge.
To answer my own question, I mean, here's how they accomplish that. The government starts to confiscate property from the people that have more.
That's right.
Allegedly, to share that confiscated property with the people who do not. The problem becomes, amongst many, but the problem is that confiscated property never makes it to the poor people. The government takes it. The bureaucrats that run the government are the ones that we talked about earlier that become like a protected class. They benefit. So the people that are confiscated from, they lose out. The people that are in need, they lose out because they never get these things. And the bureaucrats that toe the party line are the ones that do well.
Well, Bruce, let's pivot to something else, because this is in the headlines right now. Just this week, we had three of the 9/11. This is 2001, 9/11, which we've talked about. It was pivotal in both of our lives. And to anybody who lived through it, it really was a turning point for this country. And I don't mean a good one. When they crashed into the World Trade Center and they crashed a plane in Pennsylvania, because passengers on that plane actually went toward the cockpit and fought back, and they brought the plane down before it hit its intended target, which we think might have been the White House, not sure, or Congress. And of course, they did crash into the Pentagon, and 3,000 people, Americans, were killed. Now, there's so many people have it's been, you know, 23 years, something like that. And so people have forgotten. I even see, Bruce, on commentators don't have the same passion that you and I would have about this story. But Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, KSM has been the short word for him, was the mastermind on that attack on the United States. And he was apprehended. There was a famous, remember when he was, they found him in a hole in the ground, Bruce, in, was it in Iraq?
In Pakistan.
In Pakistan. And pulled him out, and he's been at Gitmo ever since. And at one point, he said he wanted the death penalty. Do you remember that?
Right, right. KSM, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who, as you said, was the mastermind of the 9/11 attack, was captured back in 2003 in a hole in Pakistan. Our special forces were looking for him, and I remember they almost walked past him, and one of the guys saw something on the ground, looked suspicious. He pulled back basically a piece of cardboard, I believe, and there was KSM hiding in this hole. So he was brought, he was put into custody, and eventually said, I want to be executed. Yeah. He was proud as could be that
he had done.
And had fought the great Satan, the United States, and wanted to be put to death. But of course, politics got involved in this trial, and this was under the Obama administration. There were concerns that some of the statements that had been obtained from these 9/11 masterminds had been obtained by torture. You remember the infamous thing about waterboarding, things like that. Well, look, we didn't need statements from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to convict him of murder. His fingerprints were all over that that plot.
Well, and there was an additional thing, Bruce, I should add. He also, some of you won't remember this, but there was a Wall Street Journal reporter, a young guy named Daniel Pearl, really handsome guy who was over in Iraq, I believe, or collecting information. And he was, you know, doing some dangerous things. And there was a video, they released a video of him being beheaded all around this time. And this is when we were actually really fighting back for what happened on 9/11. It's hard to remember when America actually fought back. But Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was the guy that beheaded Daniel Pearl. It was huge, huge news story. This Wall Street Journal doing it, a reporter beheaded on camera, which went out to the world for all the world to see. So Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was a central figure, and he's been now in Gitmo for 20 years, I guess, something like that.
Yes.
And that's Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Yeah. And actually, you talked about you'd been to every country that's communist except Cuba. Well, I can fill in the blank there, honey, because I went to Cuba as part of a observation team to watch this trial of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his co-defendants. I have never been more disappointed in the United States, I don't think, in my life, as watching the machinations of this trial. The defendants were behind glass. There's lawyers all, I mean, each one of these defendants had three or four lawyers. And here's how these trials were conducted. Every 2 weeks, the judge and all the lawyers and observers and all kinds of military people were flown from Washington, D.C. down to Gitmo in Cuba. They held court for 2 weeks. Then they would come back to the United States. And, I mean, think of the expense of that. They allowed certain observers to go down. I was lucky enough to be one of them. And my way was paid down. And we were housed and fed, and as were all the court personnel. And this had been going on at that time for approximately 3 to 5 years, depending on the defendant. And they were still in what we call pretrial motions. And some of the motions were the most ridiculous things, like, would they be allowed out of their cell an hour, or would they be allowed out of their cell 2 hours? In fact, nothing to do at all with whether or not these men had committed this crime.
Bruce, could I interject? Also, during the time when they were down there, these prisoners were fed kosher, not kosher, what do they call halal?
Halal. Yeah,
yeah, they were fed, they gained an average of 20 pounds. Yeah. They had every comfort. They were actually allowed to, they could, they made the rules. They ended up running the camp, and our soldiers who were guarding them had to do what they said in regard to the Quran and all these kinds of things. It was really shocking.
It was ridiculous. Okay. They were treated with kid gloves. And in fact, there was a supporter of KSM in the gallery with me, and when the trial took a break, KSM came up to the window where we were seated, and his supporter was blowing kisses to him and bowing and such. And now you have to remember, here's who's in the gallery. Most of the people in the gallery are victims' families from the 2001 attack. You can imagine their reaction. You have, you know, they're watching this ridiculous court play out while their families have been killed. And now there's a supporter of the person who masterminded the killing of their families, of their family members, blowing kisses and being allowed to be there in the same gallery with them.
Okay.
So I can tell you, it didn't go over well.
Well, all right. So here, I hope we laid enough groundwork for you to understand how horrible this has been. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed has thrived down in Gitmo. He's gained weight. He's gotten very, proud of himself, as Bruce just described. And guess what the Biden-Harris administration just did this week? They made a plea deal so that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will not be killed, neither will his other two deputies. We know that they want to close Gitmo. They're probably moving to that, but that's my assumption. So we don't exactly know what that plea deal is, but they're going to get, something, probably not commensurate with the actions that they took.
Well, I can tell you what it's not going to be. It's not going to be the death penalty. The same death penalty that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed begged for several years ago is not going to be on the
table. No,
that's
right. So no, they're not going to take their lives for all those murders. And that's the ironic thing is that the Biden-Harris administration is saying, we didn't have anything to do with that. We didn't have anything to do with that, which is just absolutely, only a fool would believe that. So I want to end with this on this particular topic. We know that Kamala and the Biden administration has rehabilitated the Iranian regime. And when it came to the war on terror, it was the Iranians who were behind so much of this. They were the ones funding the terrorists. They still are. Hamas is being funded and supported. Hamas is Iran. So now Kamala's national security advisor is now under investigation over his ties to Iran and an Iranian influence network. His name is Phil Gordon. And he worked on the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran, which is the one with President Obama, where they sent, pallets of cash in the middle of the night to Iran. They allowed them to develop nuclear weapons. So they're playing footsie with him. And Kamala's national secretary advisor, Phil Gordon, is part of this. He's under investigation right now. So I just want you to know that's where Kamala is in general on the issue of the Middle East. And certainly she is so anti-Israel. I wish I'd pulled clips about that. I wanted you to know that. But there are a lot of other things that I want you to know about Kamala Harris. In fact, we mentioned that Kamala is from a communist background. Now, she's also Indian. We'll get to that in a second, too. So I don't know how that plays out, except her parents were hardcore communists. And so it's interesting that in a few years ago, I believe during the Obama administration, she came out with this statement. This is clip 3.
And when we all sing happy tunes and sing Merry Christmas and wish each other Merry Christmas, these children are not going to have a Merry Christmas. How dare we speak Merry Christmas? How dare we?
All right, so this is the thing about Kamala. She is the daughter of an Indian woman and a Jamaican father, Donald Jasper Harris. And by the way, he himself said when she was chosen to run for vice president with Joe Biden that their family owned slaves in Jamaica. So Kamala is not African-American, not like you. If you've been around African blacks, and that's a totally different, that's not Jamaican, that's a whole different genus of black people. They're not like American blacks. there is a tradition with the slavery and with culturally that ties a lot of American blacks together, their shared history. Kamala's not any part of that, and yet she's feigning that she's black. Kamala just spoke in Atlanta at the funeral for Sheila Jackson Lee, the congresswoman from Texas, and was feigning a Southern accent. You probably heard it before. Do you think Kamala Harris, growing up in California with an Indian mother, and she has pictures of her and her family. She's got the Indian, the dot on her head and the full dress, Indian style. She's very proud of her Indian heritage. In fact, that's what she used to lead with all the time, was that she was Indian, which, why wouldn't you? But she is not an American black. She doesn't have the black traditions, but she feigns that to these audiences. As a matter of fact, her campaign hauled in roughly $200 million within the first week of her candidacy, with much of that stemming from Zoom calls directed to and inviting specific gender and or racial groups. And she certainly does talk to blacks as though she's black. She identifies with them. Now, that's very convenient for her. But she's really not black like that. She's not. She's Indian. Has a very different upbringing. I'll just give you an example of this. When she was speaking, I believe in North Carolina, I wish I had the clip, but I can do a Southern accent. This is what she said. Y'all helped us win in 2020, and we're going to do it again in 2024. So that's the kind of thing. Remember Hillary Clinton used to do that? She'd feign a Southern accent. Remember how she bragged about how she carried hot sauce in her purse in front of a black crowd? This is pandering in the worst way and makes you not trust people. Well, Bruce, there's a lot more to say about her, but I think we need to take a break, and we're going to do that. When we come back, there's just a few other issues I'm going to highlight. I can't do the whole show. I'd be a show and a half, maybe three shows on Kamala's bad positions on issues that we care about, but we'll come back to that right after this.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Well, I think we know what we have to do. When you hear how extreme Kamala Harris is on the issue of abortion, if she should get elected, and ladies and gentlemen, she might, we have so few things we can control right now in our elections. And there are people fighting away to try to clean up the rolls. There's a lot of good news coming out about voter rolls being cleaned out in various states. And we're hoping for the best. And all of us need to do our part, by the way. But it's also possible that she might win through, you know, and getting a lot of help for her positions, especially on abortion. And that's why preborn takes a more important role, I think, right now. A preborn sidesteps all of this. It doesn't matter about the politics. It doesn't matter about the laws. They go directly to the moms. The moms are the ones who decide whether the life of their baby should be taken or not. And that's why ultrasound is so important, because when they see the image of their baby moving, sucking their thumb, their gender, and realize it's their baby, most moms, the stats are about 60% of them decide to keep the baby or at least let it live and adopt it out. That's a pretty remarkable thing, just that in itself. And if you want to help preborn, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
Hi, everyone. It's Kamala Harris. Each day, we are seeing our rights and freedoms under attack, including the right of everyone to be who they are, love who they love, openly and with pride. So as we fight back against these attacks, let's all remember, no one is alone. We are all in this together, and your vote is your power. So please make sure your voice is heard this November and register to vote at vote.gov.
Can I get an amen?
Amen!
Now on with the show.
And remember, you better vote.
All right, that is your maybe future president on RuPaul's Drag Race. RuPaul is a drag queen, probably one of the first that's been, he's been out there for a couple of decades. And of course, while she's talking, all these drag queens are behind her. Except, so do I need to say more about where she stands on that? Maybe not. And then, of course, there's the border. And there's a lot of controversy about Kamala Harris on the border. You may recall that Joe Biden did place her in charge of the border. I thought it was shocking at the time. And even at this point, as far as I know, she is yet to visit the border. Maybe she did after a lot of harassment. I could be wrong about that. But she refused to go for months and months and months. There are 30 million estimated illegal immigrants in this country right now. I'm not saying that all of them came across the border under Biden's administration, but that's the cumulative amount. We think at least like something like 15 million have come across and are continuing to come across that border. So let's hear. And yet, when President Trump and others called Kamala the border czar, there was much protesting, especially by the media. Clip 5.
She was put in charge of the border.
Nope.
She was in charge of reaching out to the South and Central American countries to stem the immigration.
She wasn't the border czar.
She was not actually the border czar.
She is not the border czar.
She was never border czar.
She was not the border czar.
Let's be very clear. There was no border czar.
President Biden put his vice president, Kamala Harris, in charge of one of his administration's growing challenges. She is now the point person on immigration.
Vice President Harris is now the Biden administration's point person
to oversee his administration's efforts to stem the flow of migrants.
Kamala Harris, the point person on immigration.
The point person in the effort to stop the flow of migrants.
And Kamala Harris will lead the response to the border challenge. Kamala Harris to lead the White House efforts to tackle migration challenges at the U.S.-Mexico border.
To take the lead on overseeing all of these efforts at the border.
Putting his vice president, Kamala Harris, in charge of this.
Her first big portfolio item
to oversee solutions.
And I have confidence that she's going to do a good job in this role. I think President Biden made a good decision, a wise move.
All right. Yeah. So there you got the two different versions of the media. And this is what they're doing. They're completely rewriting who she is and lying to all of us. I hope you remember that. I hope that that's getting down to your neighbors and friends, your family members who, you know, have this, are so susceptible to the propaganda. You had to let them know that that's an absolute lie. There are a couple of other things about Kamala I want you to know. She was very much against fracking. Fracking is a process to create the shale in the ground to create oil in a new way, natural gas. It's amazing, and that's what caused us to be energy independent under President Trump. But when the Biden administration came in, they stopped all of it, and Kamala is very much against fracking, although now that she's campaigning in Pennsylvania, she sees it a little differently. So there you go on that one. And the last thing I'm going to mention before I ask Bruce what else he wants to chime in about her before we leave you. She is now actively pushing for packing the Supreme Court. And that is so dangerous. We've not talked about it much at this mic, but Franklin Delano Roosevelt was famous for trying to do that because the justices were ruling against him. That's what's happening. That's what they believe. The powers that be in Washington hate the Supreme Court. That's why they're personally attacking Sam Alito and also Justice Clarence Thomas and the others. They're making it personal. They're trying to destroy them personally. They have all kinds of plans. They want to control that court. And could I also say that's what these totalitarian governments who've been taking over through the democratic process have been doing. It is a pattern. It happened in Venezuela. As soon as Maduro was, actually it was Hugo Chavez, the first dictator, he disbanded the Supreme Court. He actually killed some of the justices. And this is, I'm not saying Kamala Harris wants to kill our justices, so don't misquote me. But I'm telling you, she is on the camp and on the train to reduce the influence of the Supreme Court, which they view as their obstacle with these conservative justices.
And, you know, falling in line with that, Sandy, is that's the nonviolent way that Kamala Harris is looking at taking power. The other way that she wants to do it is confiscating all firearms, not assault weapons, not particular weapons, all weapons. She is on record as saying she is against the Second Amendment. And when you watch what's going on down in Venezuela, the people, the common people, have no way to fight back.
Why, Bruce?
Well, the government has guns and they don't.
They took away their guns. Yeah. Yeah. So this is the parallels are just amazing. As a matter of fact, as a California attorney general, she allowed police to knock on the doors of people on a state list of prohibited gun owners and people deemed a danger to themselves. And she bragged about that. And so she has plans for us in regard to guns.
And guess who will Second Amendment. Guess who will be determined to be people that own guns that are dangerous? It'll be people like you and me.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, well, any last thing, honey, before we wrap up here?
Well, I was just wondering if Kamala, since she wants to redistribute everybody's income, would start with her own homes, of which she owns three.
Wow.
She owns a condo in San Francisco that's worth $1 million. She owns a condo in Washington, D.C. worth $1.75 million. But she also owns a home in the Brentwood area. If you remember, that's where O.J. Simpson lived.
Oh, yes. You and I both know that area very well.
The Brentwood area of Los Angeles, where her neighbors are LeBron James and Gwyneth Paltrow. And it's worth $5 million. So I'm wondering if she would like to be the first one to start to make things equitable.
Oh, I think so. Equity. I think that's very important. She should listen to that clip of hers saying that over and over again. That should put her to sleep at night or wake her up in the morning. Anyway, well, that's enough. I mean, there's more to say about her, but I wanted you to know, and I started to say, and I never quite finished, that I believe I'm now wrong about that. I thought there would, according to the plan, they were going to have this huge, this convention in Chicago where they would introduce these candidates and they would hope to have like 17 of them with these flashy videos so that you could get all excited and it would be like an elimination leading up to the culmination of choosing the candidate on the last night. But I think they've been thwarted because the Democratic Party is also very divided and there are fights going on, intra-party fights, and Kamala and her camp have come out victorious. I don't think the Obamas are down with this. I'm just telling you, they lost on this because they were hoping to do it their way. Nevertheless, they will all unite behind Kamala and make her sound like the Virgin Mary, if that's possible, after she was a mistress at 29 to a 61-year-old man. But if they can rewrite that, they will too. So that's the story for now on Kamala Harris, who wants to be president of the United States. All right, we have a lot to pray about, don't we? We know that this is a battle between good and evil. We know that. And so how do we respond to that? Well, first of all, I would say to you, we cleanse our hearts. Those of us that are Christians, we ask God to forgive us of our sins so that we can be used by him to fight this battle. So stop entertaining your sins. Stop doing things you know you shouldn't be doing. And ask God to give you a clean heart, as the psalmist did, so that we can fight this battle properly. I want to thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7. I want to thank our sponsors, Timothy Plan, where you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.